Hey everybody, thanks so much for joining Horrible Decisions. Just wanted to make you all aware that our tour is paused for the meanwhile, but we can't wait to see you. Of course, we're going to announce dates. Of course, we're going
to
drop.
Did you have to say pause?
It's a pause.
I hate the word pause.
Why?
Like when people pause for shit being gay, can we say postpone?
I don't even think about pause like that when I say it. It's a pause, ho, because we didn't like stop. We just pushed pause, bitch, and it's gonna play at a later date. The fuck?
I am sad that we're not gonna be able to see the Whore High specifically. I do, real quick, just want to shout out to everyone that was going to attend the Atlanta show. It was gonna be over 700 people, ho. So I'm looking forward to seeing y'all. We are gonna see y'all later this year, and you guys will receive emails and updates from Weezy and I's social media and all of that regarding when those dates are. We'll be returning. I do, though, want to say that for the Atlanta show and I believe the San Francisco show, guys, they are seated venues. So we are asking that you go ahead and keep your tickets. They will be valid.
Well, they're all seated venues. What she means is assigned seating. There's no standing room. We're always really big on you guys being able to wear whatever shoes you want without pain. But specifically for those shows, there is assigned seating. So that's really why. And even for Toronto, you know, Toronto sold out so quickly. We hope that you guys keep your tickets because when we announce dates back, if we can't accommodate you with the date, of course, it'll be a refund. If you can't make that new date, but just try to hold on to your tickets so that, you know, you got the sold out show and we don't want you to miss out.
All right. Well, again, we want to thank the Whore High for supporting us. And as usual, we will keep you guys with an episode every Monday. So let's get on with the show. And hi, guys. Welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. This is your girl, Mandy B, a.k.a. Pet the Stallion, a.k.a. Full Court Pumps, a.k.a. negative for COVID. What's up, though? How you feeling over there?
You can't say that. That's like saying you're negative for STDs. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
This has been the funniest thing because this has been the only time I have seen people so kind of open with sharing their positive results. You know,
I think that it's more so because for this one, I mean, I've like think about if you've had a person that you slept with that had chlamydia or gonorrhea, you would expect them to tell you so that you can get tested. It's a little bit different, particularly with this, because it's if you touched a surface or you were in the same space. It's not if you fucked that person. So that's why I think people are being open about positive results, only because I think as a human being or a good Samaritan, you should at least tell someone, hey, if you know you were around me in the last 14 days, you should get tested. Right? Much like tested and you had something, you could be like, yo, my pussy's burning. I expect the same for your dick.
I hate that people just, it was a little ashamed that they had sex and caught something, but nah, we out here coughing, not covering in our mouths, and it makes sense to people. What the hell? Fundamentals of fucking hygiene. I guess before we get started, we do have a guest, and I'm super excited. We're going to introduce her in a moment. But I guess, Weezy, we haven't really caught up in a while, so what's been going on with you?
I am active as fuck, and by active, I mean going crazy in my apartment, doing like fucking fire drills, goddamn. I've been doing workouts I ain't never done in my motherfucking life. I didn't even know I could go on my balcony and do pull-ups. I bought a bike. Did you know bikes are like $500? I don't know if anybody knows.
No, bikes are very expensive.
Bikes are $500.
Like, they're not cheap at all.
The brand is Specialized. So me and Old Bay went to a bike store because it's literally the only thing we were like, okay, well, how can we be active? So I have a hard time running. I get really wheezy. So I normally just lift and shit. But we bought a bike, so we go biking in the mornings. It's nice. It's nice. I'm not fucking that much. When the NBA got canceled is really when I was like, oh, this is going to be some shit. Like, we were fucking a lot then at night, like earlier in the night. Because it would be like from 8 to 11, right. Like I wouldn't get dick. And it was like right after we ate food now, like we fuck, which is weird.
So you're actually happy the NBA is canceled, huh?
No, because I'm tired of fucking. But
well, I'm
leaning into it. Like the first few days I had a really hard time detaching and knowing that we couldn't meet, you know, fans of the show and that my schedule was like interrupted in a way to where I felt useless. I really hate the pressure of like, I feel like everybody was like, oh, well, you're a creative, so just make stuff. And it's just like, I get it, but like, still I'm inspired by being around people and being collaborative. Even my writing sessions, you know, I go to them 2-3 times a week. Those are completely over. I mean, and now when we're doing writing sessions, it's like on, like we're doing the show, but it's different. It's 10 people and one idea, and it's weird now.
I'll share this link with you. And for anyone listening, you guys may have saw me post it on my social media, but classcentral.com has over four. Yeah. So there's actually a script writing class on there. And there's another one that allows you to write it helps you with a 30-page script for a pilot, for like an opener to a series. I'll put the link in the description. It is free for the course. However, if you want the certification, that does come at a cost. But these are literally Ivy League schools. I think the script writing class is from Michigan State University.
Harvard's got some business courses too. Now, heads up, they are free. If you want a certificate, you have to pay for it. No shit. People are like, oh, it's not free. That's free, nigga.
Yeah, nigga, it's a certificate. You just pay for it.
I want to talk about with everyone, and Corey included, if you could talk about it really quick before we even introduce you. I want to talk about something we all really like that's happening since this has happened.
Oh, okay. Okay, I guess we'll start with Corey. And guys, we are going to introduce the guest. I promise she's going to get a good introduction. So, Corey, yeah, what is one thing that is good that you think has happened?
Because of what's going on, or like in spite of? Because I think I've been like FaceTiming all of my friends. Like, I feel like I've been seeing my friends almost more because I've been like signing up for like live streams of like DJ sets or, you know, like dance parties or something like that. Yeah. And I can like hop into one for like half an hour and then like hop into another one. So I feel like I'm actually connecting with more people. It's just like not that in person, which sucks.
You're not the only person I saw on Twitter. People are like, I'm so connected with people now. I'm like, what?
I'm like,
I mean, I was going to say, for the first time in a very long time, I was on FaceTime with a guy the other night for almost 3 hours. And I was like, what am I doing? Yeah. I think that one of the, I guess, positives that we have taken out of this, I would say is, I have had the time now in my house. I think Weezy and I, you know, you and I have been on the road since like November. And I don't stop a lot. I literally have recently felt like, why the fuck do I pay rent? I'm never home. So I've enjoyed being able to binge, being able to sleep in my own bed. I've been able to clean and organize my home, in which I felt like I didn't have time before to do so. And yeah, I think that I've also gained an appreciation for the things that I would have never thought I was taken for granted, like the hair store. The hair store was motherfucking closed, and I couldn't get no acetone. Y'all, I had to soak these acrylic nails off. Y'all know how I feel about these acrylic nails. I'm down to 3 lashes. My lash play's closed. A bitch, look, my hair is going out. I have a hat on right now.
Personal care is a really big one. I think for me,
to get my roots done on Tuesday.
No, yours, but I like black roots, dark roots of blonde hair. I know some people think
I'm going to have to like black roots of dark roots of blonde hair. I don't have a choice.
I'm grateful for it. I was just saying this the other day. Like, I've noticed so much that I am so present, and it's weird. Like, I feel more calm. Like, I feel more at peace. Even though I know it's an anxious time, I feel more chill. Like, my partner and I, like, we're really connected. Like, I'm making so many meals at home. I'm healthier. I've never cooked this much. I made swordfish the other day. Like, I'm cooking a lot of crab boil, and I'm like, really proud of myself.
A fucking swordfish, bitch. Bitch, you think you in Florida, huh? Where you just buying swordfish?
There's a fish market in Brooklyn. You know, I don't live in that part of the New York City. But... the other thing I was going to say that I noticed like online that I really liked, you know, when you're like, okay, so there's no celebrity gossip right now, not for real, right? I feel like people are just so obsessed with like celebrities and just like their drama. And it's like, we cling to that. And don't get me wrong, I love drama too, right? I watch reality TV for that. But I've really appreciated that there's so much more engagement between people talking more than like shit talking. They're still shit talking.
Bitch, but instead of TMZ, I'm just following Andrew Cuomo's tweets. It ain't much of a difference. Andrew dropping them bombs, bitch. I love me some Andrew.
I'm a huge Cuomo fan right now.
How is that the only tea we get?
But I don't know. Like, it's people crazy. On Twitter,
they're like engaging more with fun, like things to say to each other more than like shit talking. But maybe that's my feed. But I've felt that. I don't know.
But I got news.
Speaking,
I got news I got news that Tom Brady is no longer on the Pats though, and I got really excited because I was like, it's not COVID news, and I'm like, I care about this.
So I ain't gonna hold you. As far as connecting to people, I don't know if this is a symptom or not, but I have considered flying dick in, and it wasn't until recently that I realized how sad it is that we are the epicenter here in New York, and niggas is just like, no. I'm like, nigga, I'm offering you a flight and some food. I don't even be offering motherfuckers that at the normal time.
But why and would I you even, fly? I was thinking, that's like you're fucking...
Girl, because I'm just like, because I feel like if you come, you come in to drop the dick off. Like, I'm applying the same flyout rules. If you come, you're my sex slave, I need the dick on demand. I'm like, I'm just trying to be hospitable here and offer the flight. Offer
I'm trying
food,
to be hospitable? Yeah. Oh, I do have a question. Is anyone's mom's freaking out? My mom is like, I gotta buy a bunch of soup. I'm like,
no, my mom is so chill in times like this. She's just like, we're gonna be fine.
Well, so my mom actually is a nurse, so she is an essential worker, so she's still out working. She's just really telling me how unprepared specifically Florida and her unit is, as far as it's someone took a picture of their pandemic kit, and it's literally nothing but like a fucking hand sanitizer that says everyone use and some paper towels. She said they don't have enough masks. It's really crazy, like hearing from the healthcare professionals right now. And my friend is an anesthesiologist. Well, she's a nurse anesthetist, but she still administers anesthesia. I don't know the difference. And so she's telling me the difference with her job too. It's fucking crazy.
Oh,
but guys, enough
actually,
about this shit.
Sorry.
Oh, it's but oh yeah. By the way, guys, I was about to be like, all right, we said we wasn't gonna talk about this shit.
We're recording remote, so it's hard to like. I think we have like a 2 second delay. So if we all thought we interrupted before. No, I was reading some news about the ventilator, and I actually have a tiny mini little thing, like a thing in my, a breathing machine in my house. Corey, by the way, that's why they call me Wheezy. And I literally thought to myself today, like, I'm going to donate this. This is like a super expensive machine.
Bitch, don't nobody want your little humidifier.
It's not a humidifier. You put, like droplets in it, and it has like a huge tube, and you could put the mask over your face to breathe. So it's not a huge, like big, you know, thing for ventilator, but I'm going through this selfish thing. Like, well, what if I get the shit?
No, what if you need it?
Oh my.
Like, and I'm just like, but I feel bad. And I'm like, I want to do my part. But so I'm like volunteering to give old people food in the Bronx.
Don't look at you just trying to be shady. Why you had to say the Bronx pussy asshole?
I can't understand why you a hater. Y'all could have helped
him. First off, you need to give it to Brooklyn because the Bronx is stated as the lowest amount of cases up here. So give it to your people while you out there in Brooklyn buying swordfish, ho. Anyways, let's go ahead and introduce our guest, guys. You guys have been hearing a third voice for like the first 15 minutes of the show, but we want to let you guys know that we are joined.
Oh, wait, let's do a Caucasian drum roll. Make it. How do you make it offbeat?
You're so awful. Not an offbeat drum roll, ho. We have Miss Corey B. Welcome to Horrible Decisions, man.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to go ahead and let our listeners know what you do? And guys, we have met before, so maybe you could share kind of how we met as well.
Yeah. So so I'm a sex educator. I'm a kink coach, relationship coach, and I also am a cannabis advocate. And those are the kind of things that I like work in.
What's a kink coach?
So a kink coach is basically somebody that helps people get better at their kink skills, learn more about kink. I get hit up by a lot of couples that have never done really kinky stuff, but they're interested in doing it. It's like a sex like coach, but for like kink more specifically.
King Noir and Jasmine. I think that's kind of how we would. I think they call themselves fetish trainers.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay, it's so
like,
the same.
There's
thing.
There's no certification. There's no like online certification. There's no like that doesn't exist. It's more of just like this is how people like people know what a coach is. So I just kind of like, right, you know, right. You kind of make your own titles at a certain point. But yeah, so I teach people about kink. And so I met Mandy at, so one of the things I also do is I perform and I do like kink demos, at clubs and parties and stuff like that. And so, it was a rally, right?
Yes. Yeah. The pro-sex rally.
I just want you guys to know, I wasn't there, but I just would like to say this one word of what I thought a rally was. I thought a rally, actually, let me Google it since I'm recording on my computer. When I hear the word rally, I assume we're all going to rally together and like get somewhere and like march
we
outside.
We did rally together.
Oh, yeah, it was a gathering
troops
of people.
Come together.
Okay.
A mass meeting of people making a political protest or showing support for a cause. Well, turns out this.
That's what we did.
You fucked each other too.
Okay, no. So at this rally, and it's so
a
crazy
sex
because
party
I
rally.
Was super. Well, yes, I was basically. super drawn to Corey because she had this extravagant, like, bondage type garter belt. Like, it was beautiful. By the way, your body is super bomb. Oh my God. So she had.
Yeah, the designer for that's Creepy Yeehaw. She has like an amazing Instagram and all this stuff.
Creepy Yeehaw. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to fit my thighs. I need to hit her
they're
up. But she does specialty custom.
They're all custom.
So. Oh. So she has this custom attire on and I'm like, yo, that is super, super dope. So we start kind of talking about bondage. But before the rally ends, you kind of did a flogging session.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I did. I did like a big impact scene with my bottom there, Kitty. And yeah, like I whipped her, flogged her, spanked her, paddled her. I probably used clothespins knowing me.
Clothespins on what?
Like. Okay, so I like to put clothespins like on the like closer to like your armpit kind of area where that skin is really thin.
Bitch.
oh, I'm really
sadistic.
Wait,
you stick them in the skin though?
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't do that, sis. You didn't do that, but I think you did flog her to where I think she was getting welts or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
she liked pain.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do that, but she got welts.
I only work with masochists.
So
she did get welts, bro.
Yeah, I hope so. She doesn't bruise very easily. So
you said that you called her your bottom instead of your sub.
Yeah.
Why that term?
So like she and I don't have like any sort of established dominant submissive dynamic or anything.
Okay.
Like in that scene, I was like doming her, but I usually use the verbs like top and bottom. Like I'm topping her, she's bottoming to me, just to kind of indicate like who's giving, who's receiving. Like you could say that I was like doming her as well. I just use those other terms more interchangeably.
It was super lit. So guys, Corey is one half of the Never Have I Ever podcast.
Yeah.
So we do, I feel like we normally do icebreakers with people that we think ain't really into sex like that. But clearly you are, but we're going to do the icebreaker anyways. And this is also a game that maybe you guys can do in your group chat since we're all just talking to each other remotely anyways. So for the icebreaker for this episode, I wanted to do a Never Have I Ever.
Yeah.
So Wheezy and I are also going to play along. So we're going to go around, I guess. What would this be? A triangle?
According to you guys, it would be a fucking rally.
We're going to go around the rally, and we're going to say one thing that we have never done, and I do want to know if the other people have done it. And then for the second half, I want to go over something that we all have done and we never want to do again. So let's start with you, Wheezy. Because I don't think there's really nothing you ain't never done, but we going to see. So sexually, never have you ever.
So I've never done this, and I'm only thinking about it because I'm having recurring dreams that I'm fucking. So Corey, just context, my boyfriend's name, partner, whoever, his name is Old Bay on the show. So I'm having recurring dreams while in the bed with him that someone comes in the middle of the night, and it's someone I know that I used to sleep with. I just don't want to say their name on the show. And he fucks me while Old Bay's next to me. And then Old Bay wakes up and they like fucking run this amazing train on me. Now, never have I ever had a threesome with two men. But this dream is so frequent. It's like 3-4 times a week.
Oh, bitch, you want that shit. That's a fantasy at this point.
And here's why I feel bad. Because we had a night on Friday where I was like really tired of being in the house. I was like, this about to be the club. I was like, I'm going to get some cigarette smoking here. We're going to stand on the couches like it's a section. And we're going to make this the motherfucking club. He didn't let me stand on the couch. But basically, I found out Magic City was doing lap dances. So I did this like stripper dance tease move. And it turned into watching porn. And all the porn I put on was MMF. And he was like, what are you trying to tell me? I was like, how are you receiving what I'm saying? And I feel like it was a no. So I don't know how to get him loose, but never have I ever fucked two guys. And it's like a super crazy fantasy right now.
Corey, never have you ever what?
Okay, so I'm really bad at this game too, because I've done a lot of shit. and I play this on my podcast too. So the one that I thought of was never have I ever been anally fisted.
Oh, bitch, me neither. Me neither. Weezy, have you been? No, Weezy, I don't think has either. She claims she still ain't never really had anal sex, but she let the head go in. So I think that's anal sex.
I mean, it is. I just haven't had like strokes in my ass. That's what I want.
Like, and I'm not going to lie. So, well, Corey, have you ever had MMF?
Yes. Yeah.
And I have too. So, okay, I guess you're
what do you prefer, longer, but Corey? None of us.
MMF versus like MMF or like FFM? Is that what you're asking? MMF. Yeah. Oh my God, I love it.
Me too.
It's my it's my favorite. Getting DP'd was like the best thing ever. Like, I can't. Oh my God. That shit was wild.
Speaking of MMF and DP, never have I ever been DP'd during an MMF. So I just recently started trying to test what that would feel like, and I absolutely love it. So I've been getting fucked vaginally and having my partner fuck me with a dildo in my ass. And goddamn,
I've
goddamn,
only done
goddamn
plugs. I can't fit the dildo because I'm not getting fucked in the ass.
Girl, you better make them butt plugs a little bigger and get that dildo in there so you can stroke it. That shit feels
anytime
so good.
I do like the white girl moan, no offense, but you know what I'm saying, Corey. You, like that, huh? It's when like I'm getting a finger in my ass and coming at the same. It's crazy. That's the only time I get the huh. How do you spell that?
I love that shit. H U H H H H H H H H H.
That's more like whoa.
No, I feel like there's an A in there.
I was about to say H A U. H A U. There we go. Aww, so Weezy, we're gonna start back at the top. What is one thing that you have done sexually that you never want to do again?
Oh, getting face fucked after dinner? I don't know.
Okay, wait. I listened to that episode.
Oh, the first was it the first one?
I was about to say.
I think so. It was like the first or second one or something. Yeah.
But you talked about that and you like felt like you were going to throw up your whole dinner, right?
It almost happened again recently, which is why I said. But it's because I'm doing these fucking goddamn Michelin star meals, bro. So have y'all heard of Masterclass?
Yeah, like the app.
So
the
fucking Gordon Ramsay's on there giving you the secrets to shit. So I'm making everything, okay? Fucking steak, scallops, sauteing shit. And suddenly he got horny and I'm like, it's not oysters. What the fuck's going on? And it was a very big like heaving sound. Wow. And you know what's the fucked up thing about niggas? Doesn't throw off at all. You good? Okay.
And you know, I don't like gagging. I feel like I'm going to die. And I literally don't want to die giving head. Like, that's just one way I don't want to go out. And I feel like once I gag, I feel like I'm going to
die. I'd rather die like that than like, you know, some other mysterious disease not to be named.
Like, yeah. I always said I wanted to die while having sex. That'd be a pretty great way to go.
Which way, Corey?
Oh, yeah, that's.
Look. Like, ooh.
Like from being choked, from being what?
No, I don't want to die from being choked. That'd be like too big of a news story or something, you know, like against choking or something. Because I love being choked, but I like it when it's done right. I don't know, from being like, oh, I'd love to be like suffocated with someone's tits or ass or something.
That's a good one. Oh my God, through suffocation. What about you, Weezy? Now, I mean, I would want to die maybe from the orgasm being so good that I get a heart attack. And so I don't
pass
it.
Out.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to go with being suffocated by a dick. The first one you said. I feel like that's a good way to go.
I'm with that. Corey, what is there anything that you've never done? Is there anything that you've done that you never want to do again?
Have sex with a straight man.
Really?
I only fuck queer men. Yeah. I really do.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Like, at least some degree of heteroflexibility must be there.
Why not a straight man? Why not?
I have historically just had, like, very average or, you know, below average experience with straight men. And, like, as a queer woman, I just have more to relate to with queer men.
What do you find the difference with sexes, though, particularly?
I feel like queer men are usually more focused on my pleasure, and like more like my pleasure is a it is always a thing, like it like it's something that they're thinking about, whereas like I feel like a lot of straight guys like just don't think about that or just don't.
That's very interesting. Like, I wasn't expecting that answer. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I'm of course not saying like all straight men are like bad at sex or, you know, like aren't consensual or whatever. Like there's plenty of straight guys. It's just like based on the like stats of my experience and the like ratio of like positive negative experience, it's just like better for me to just be like, no, I'd rather just fuck only queer men. And so far it's going really well.
Mm. Damn. I need to know where to find them niggas. Well, nah, I actually they're hard feel to like find. Oh, I was going to say, it's especially me. So I only deal with black men. And so I think it's really hard for them just to open up the even the conversation regarding the scale, the Kinsey scale on where they fall in. Mm-hmm. But clearly I like booty play. So I would say that they still aren't 100% hetero. And a lot mm-hmm. of them are like bi-curious.
Yeah.
Maybe not having have dealt that way. But yeah, they're definitely not 100% straight. I would say.
Are you a Pegasus too, Corey?
I'm super subby and bottomy. Like I really, yeah. It's funny. Yeah, I know. So like for work, like I got trained by a pro dom, like in how to top properly, and like I do that mainly for work. And then like sometimes if I'm feeling like in a mood or something and playing around with like my friends, then like I'll top my friends. But in my personal life, I'm really subby. Yeah, for the most part.
Oh wow. I didn't even think about it until I said it. When I said Pegasus, I'm thinking like peg a cis man. This is my sketch writing class that's fucking making me think of puns.
I would say, and it's funny because my thing that has happened that I don't want to ever happen again is actually going to lead us into our vanilla shit. But I would say one thing that I've done that I'm cool with never doing again would be the golden showers. Just pissing on someone, and I think I shared that I was drunk, like the guy tried to return the favor and I was just not
you have
here for
never
it.
Shared that, ma'am.
I did. I shared it at the live well, bitch, show. The very first
do
live
it again.
Show.
Tell it again.
So I got asked to piss on him, and I think I told y'all how hard it was mentally just to go through it. So he made sure we drank a whole lot. What he wanted to do was have me piss on him, but also my bladder to be full enough to squirt so that he could have me squirt in a cup so he could mix it with Ciroc. I shared that story before. Anyways, so I got on top of him in the shower and the pee just would not come out. So I literally had to run to the toilet and come back over him after I peed. I had to stop my pee, go back over him. So we ended up going out. This was the first night. This is when I was in Qatar with him or whatever. Qatar is the way to pronounce it.
You're and not so saying it right.
It is Qatar. Qatar. Qatar.
Not Qatar.
Bitch. Bitch, Qatar, bitch. Qatar. Shit.
Cut it. Cut it.
Anyways, the next night we went out to the club, and mind you, out there it's very conservative, so like we couldn't dance on each other, we couldn't be intimate at all in public, but we drank a whole lot. So when we came back to the house, I got on the toilet to piss, and he stood in front of me, and before we got into the shower, he decided to piss into the toilet, but make it fall between my tits into the toilet. So he pissed on me while I was pissing on the toilet. And I was just like, oh, no, it was warm, kind of hot. I just didn't like it. And so we both got into the shower together. But I am cool never doing golden showers again ever in my fucking life.
We are interrupting this amazing episode of Horrible Decisions to talk about Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Ladies, I feel like we've all met somebody that could take care of their balls way better. There's like an 8 out of 10 chance your balls are a little fucked up right now. And I think it's because y'all don't know what to do with them. Y'all know how to cut them. Y'all know how to keep them right. Y'all know how to shave them down. But luckily, Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Okay? Like, think about it. Who's going to do this for you? There's no balls spa. So in this time of you being home this entire week, next week, or however long we're quarantined, this is the perfect time to get your fucking balls right. So that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball trimmer ever created just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This is a third generation trimmer featuring cutting edge ceramic blades to prevent manscaping accidents. Y'all are so worried about your fucking beards and what kind of stuff you have for that. Worry about your balls. We're the ones that got to be down there. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. The battery lasts up to 90 minutes. It's one of the coolest features that it has is an LED light, and it illuminates grooming areas so that you can see down deep in the dark, crazy-ass hair and pubes that you'd be keeping your balls in. They've upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. So maybe if you don't want to wake the whole house up while you're down there, it'll be nice with the quiet stroke. Show your mower off loud and proud because the intelligently designed charging stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. Yes, that's how futuristic and lit this is. If you're listening to me speak right now, you are one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product, and I want you to experience it firsthand. So, unfortunately, I can't shave my fucking balls, but you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code HORRIBLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping. This is perfect for a gift, ladies. Even if you never want to go down there because his balls look so crazy, just buy this as a gift to your goddamn self. Tell us how it works. Since we can't do our own testimonial, let's enjoy the show.
So yeah, shared that. So I wanted to get into the vanilla shit. This comes from mirror.uk. It says that, so this is based on stats in the UK, but I felt like it's still applied maybe across the nation. It's probably more here actually. So 1 in 3 women deal with unwanted slapping, gagging, or spitting during sex. A research company interviewed over 2,000 women between the ages of 18 and 39, and 38% of the women experienced unwanted acts of aggression during consensual sex. It said that 42% of them actually felt pressured, coerced, or forced into it, and 20% of the respondents said that incidents had them feeling upset or frightened. I wanted to kind of have this conversation with you guys, especially because we are into a lot of things sexually, but we also allow our partners the freedom as well to be just as, you know, experienced. So I wanted to ask you, Corey, how you go about dealing with someone who, you know, it maybe does something sexually that you're like, yeah, I didn't really feel comfortable with you doing that.
I mean, I think it's, so it depends on obviously like what the thing is and how it affects you. But I think that if it's something that you're like, okay, this is like, I didn't love this, but like we can wait to talk about it after sex is over. Like if that's the vibe, then like definitely do that. Be like, hey, you did something there. Like maybe you are cool with that. Like the thing I was thinking about when reading this article is just like, none of these people asked beforehand or like had a conversation like, oh, I'm into this. Like, do you want to do that?
Yeah.
And so I think it's just like a thing of, okay, next time, please don't do this or never do this again. But then like, if it's something that like triggers you, makes you feel like extremely violated, like you should stop and you should like stop everything and like calm yourself down and explain to them like, I'm not cool with that.
Why do you think it's so hard for us to like, I was just thinking about this the other day. I saw a conversation on Twitter where these guys were like, why don't y'all just tell us that you don't like it then? Why do you think it's so hard for women in general to not vocalize that? And I think a lot of men that are listening right now are probably wondering that as well. Like, well, if you don't like it, why you just don't tell me?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, there's no right answer. I'm just saying, like, because I know I think it's a certain way. What do you think?
I mean, I think like you shouldn't have to list everything that you don't want to do before you fuck someone. Like, it just should be like a, it's also like people just need to learn how to ask in like a quick and sexy way so that they don't feel like it like stops the mood or something. Cause that's the biggest complaint that I hear about people when it comes to communicating is like, oh, I don't know, like it's gonna like fuck up the mood. And I'm like, no, it's gonna make you feel a whole lot better and it's gonna make your partner feel a whole lot better before like you do something that might like really terrify her or something, especially when it's like things that are like, you know, degrading and like spitting and slapping and, you know, stuff like that. So
also it's weird because Weezy has mentioned this so much, just how sexy people asking for consent is. And it's weird that people find it a mood killer to ask to do something when actually, like, you asking if it's okay for you to do this actually does arouse us. And I think that that's something that men don't realize. Like, asking isn't really going to mess up the mood. We enjoy you asking for our consent, and we enjoy that you care what I want and what I don't want.
I think it's much like when, you know how people that have never had a threesome are like, how does it start? How do people start? What are you doing it? Yeah. It's the same thing, like, when men are like, well, how do I do it without it being weird? It's going to be weird. How could it be weird that women are being in control of their own body? That's really what it is. I have to pee so bad, you guys. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Bro, all you had to do was piss before the goddamn recording, bro.
Just let me explain myself. Obviously, I'm like trying to be quote unquote at home fit. So I'm drinking a gallon a day. It's like fucking running. It feels like a UTI. Okay. I'll be right back. Talk to Corey.
I guess I'll talk with her real quick. I guess, Corey, I want to ask you then, for any act that you didn't feel comfortable with, do you have maybe a tip for our listeners as to how they can go to their partners and say, I didn't really like this. Can we not do this again? Kind of in a way that he doesn't feel like he violated her, or you know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. to make both parties comfortable.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is why like aftercare is a really important part of like any kind of mm-hmm. sex, like vanilla, kinky, like whatever the fuck you're doing. It's really important to have that time to like cuddle and, you know, like, you know, regroup and like, you know, talk about everything like that happened. So like, I think that can be a really great time where, you know, you can be talking about, oh, like, babe, I really loved it when you did this. This was super hot. Like, let's definitely do that again. And then, you know, you can be like, there was one thing that you did that like maybe we can like not do in the future. It's just like, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Like, you can like, you know how it's like,
right,
like give it like in a shit sandwich, you know, like say like, you know,
I was about to say that you're starting off with a compliment, exactly, and then following it up with like, exactly, but I didn't really like this too, yes, much,
and then like, but I really really like you and this was super hot and we should definitely do this again, just not that.
Right. And it's funny because I've been like trying to find different ways to communicate my thoughts without feeling like I'm attacking the person or that I'm not compassionate. That's, I guess, kind of been difficult for me because I'm pretty blunt in how I say things. Like, I'll say, you know, the things that I don't like, and sometimes it can come across as insensitive. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because my homegirl said that I ain't shit. So I did have sex with someone recently, and I'm not gonna say his name because he has a nickname on the show, but we don't have really great sex, but I had an edible while we had sex and he made me come 3 times and he's never made me come, and it probably wasn't good that I told him that after. I pretty much was like, Nick, no, not that I faked it, but we have sex, but it's like just going through the motions of sex. It's not like I ever really orgasmed, but this time, and I'm sure it was like just the heightened of having the edible, like I was just like, holy fuck, I literally saw space. It was purple. And so like afterwards I was like, damn, does that mean I have to fuck you every time, yeah, on an edible? And I told my homegirl that I said this, and she was like, bro, you probably made him feel like shit.
Yo, so but I'm like, true or okay, false? Maybe I need... Can you have good sex without coming? Because I think you can.
Yes, absolutely.
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. So to me, I'm not going to lie, I don't really agree with that. I think because I've had so many times, and Weezy's going to fucking jump through the computer at me, like with 24-7. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm bringing it up. But like, I always came. No. Like, I always came with him. And so... to me, you shut the fuck up. I hate your fucking face. But anyways, no, like I always came with him. So I grew to a point where I didn't want to have sex just to go through the motions and say, oh, well, that was fun. I like the feeling of coming and orgasming and having like almost like all of my endorphins or whatever the fuck comes out while you have sex. Like that shit. That's what I want to feel. I want to feel that high. I want to feel that release. And when I just go through the motions and a nigga comes, because clearly I see it in the condom or on my ass or on my tits or something, I'm kind of jealous that he was able to experience that and I wasn't. So yeah, I have sex personally. Sad. I know, I don't give a fuck. I'm bitch, I want to come.
No. I mean, that's sad. That's, by the way, when I said that I felt it felt like a UTI, I realized when I was peeing, I was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I mean, like, because I've had one before. You know how like when you have a UTI, it's like,
Wait. Is that what we're talking about right now?
Oh, how no, I have to clarify because I feel like I got... Bruh.
You're drinking so much water. Like, when you have a UTI, like, you have to drink so much water to, like, get it out.
But the thing is, I don't have one. I'm doing this because I think it's going to make me, like, lose my FUPA. And it's not working. All it's doing is making me fucking pee like crazy. But reason I brought this up, my pussy has never been more fucking juicy since this shit.
Oh, but it's because you're hydrated.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like copious amounts of water, but like crazy wet. Like I almost thought I peed on myself the other day and I was like, oh no, this is just like me fucking being so horny and like wet. It's crazy what hydration's doing.
You could probably squirt a lot too. Well, I'm walking around.
If you, yeah, for sure. You could probably definitely squirt
it's
now.
Piss, 100%. Bitch.
You should try. Nah. It's not piss. It's squirt.
If I can squirt a lot because I'm drinking gallons a day, it's piss, ho.
Do you want...
No, we're not...
I was like, okay, I'm the educator here. Like, should I?
Right. There we go. I mean, we talked about this and...
Squirting is piss, but what I am saying, Corey, is if your guesstimate is that this is the time, nah, it's pee.
There's two different types of squirting, though.
Okay.
And there's one.
Do that,
there's
bitch.
One.
Come on, teacher.
Okay, so there's two types of squirting. There's one that comes from the Skene's glands, and that's the kind of squirting that's going to be, like, milkier and, like, less volume. It's the kind of squirting that most people will report accidentally doing and be like, I squirted, like, one time 2 years ago or something.
Okay.
Then there's the other kind of squirting that comes from your bladder, and it comes out your urethra just like piss, but when your G-spot is stimulated, your G-spot gets engorged, and it feels like a sponge, right? So the G-spot is like nature's Brita filter. It filters the fluid that comes from your bladder when you're turned on, and it goes out your urethra, and so there's trace amounts of urine in there when they've done tests, but that's just because it's coming from the same place as piss, but it is not
but
piss.
When we watching Boom! The fucking porn star bitches doing volume shooting competitions... Is it piss?
Okay, so
yeah,
that's
not coming out the urethra.
Yeah, so
that's coming.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's coming out. Yeah, that part's coming out. It all comes out the urethra. It just depends on where the fluid comes from in the first place. So, but porn isn't always like so. Definitely, a lot of porn stars will like be super, super hydrated and drinking a lot. But then I've also seen like them literally give girls like a water enema in like up there to do that kind of like gimmicky squirting. But like not all of it is like
that. Who did we have that said that, Weezy? Didn't we have a porn star come on here and say that they actually do the fake, like they see them put shit up their pussies first?
Maybe. No.
I want to say she did.
I don't know if she talked about that. I just remember her saying that they be mixing up the egg yolk and the milk or something with cream pies.
Oh, yeah. For cream pies, they do like some other shit.
I had a porn star tell me, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Marie Love. I could be lying. It was someone around that time in my life that told me that she saw them drinking crazy amounts of water. It was either Marie Love or a makeup artist that was on set with porn stars.
That shit is so crazy.
Yeah.
So, Corey, one of our segments that we have, and we wanted to give it to you as the sex educator and kink coach, we have hors d'oeuvres, which are sex tips. So for our listeners, do you have a sex tip? And it could be in reference to BDSM. It could be in reference to a kink. It could be in reference to vanilla sex, any type of sex kink that you feel like our audience should know.
Okay, well, I was thinking about this kind of like in relation, like a lot of people obviously aren't seeing their partners right now. So we're using technology. So like I recently went to a virtual orgy. And we basically...
Oh, bitch, we got to talk about this. Look at Weezy's face. Wait, a virtual orgy? Oh, please share.
Okay, so basically it was like one of my best friends. So my best friend runs a play party in New York. And it was their birthday. And they obviously had to cancel the party. And this was last Saturday. And they're like really upset about it because like they hate their birthday and this was supposed to be the year to like reclaim their birthday and like make it great. So the fact they had to cancel the party was like devastating. And I was FaceTiming with them. I was like, why don't we do a virtual play party? Why don't we do like a virtual orgy like for your birthday? We can do it on Zoom. You can have like 100 people like we can do this. Like we can totally do this. And so they're like, fuck yeah. OK, let's do this. And so I think probably there was probably 80 people total that attended. I think at the peak time it was like 60 were online at once. What?
When are you guys doing it again?
Okay, I think there's one this Saturday, but it's only for like members of their play party thing. And like they're like,
oh, well, girl, we need special invites, goddammit. I need
Corey,
you to plug us
I'm
in.
I'm an F-list celebrity. And and by F-list, I mean people recognize me like two or three times a week.
And I just, I feel it. Well, I don't want to show my face. Can I just like, can we just fuck on there and let people watch?
No, so you have, so, okay. So the rules I think they're doing is like, you have to have your video on because it's weird if like a bunch of people have your video on and then someone
doesn't. No, I'll have my video like, on. Right? I just don't, it'll be like this.
You don't have to like do anything. But yeah, so.
I want to
so,
fuck them.
Yeah, it was like, they had a bunch of like performances. They had like a burlesque, burlesque performance friends of ours like do performances and people were like tipping them like because everyone's out of the job right now. So that was really dope. It was awesome. And then by the end, like we counted down my friend's birthday and like everyone was fucking and like it was great.
I love was, like, that. I just want to watch and like, play everything. With my pussy. Yeah,
it was great.
I would just be playing with my pussy.
So, okay. So my
sex. That sounds like
yeah,
fun.
So my sex tip was like put on a cam show for your partner. Like you like get on FaceTime or Zoom or whatever and like put on a little private cam show like you're a cam star for your partner.
Weezy, maybe you can set this up in the group chat for Patreon, ho. Set up a whole Zoom.
They're popping up
with the patrons.
They're popping up. I'm seeing them everywhere. I think like NSFW is doing one too. Maybe. Or, I don't know.
I hope NSFW yeah, it's great. I would yeah, fuck on it because I've talked about like wanting to fuck on Chat Roulette. I just don't want to show my face, but I definitely want to fuck on there and like let people
and you have big tattoos fuck. Now. But you have big tattoos now. Are you ever concerned about your tattoos? Because I know that's I'm scared of my tattoos as far as recording.
Not on Chat Roulette, but on something more local with like NSFW or a bunch of New Yorkers and there's a can no, but. In person, I wouldn't feel that uncomfortable, like at a sex party. There's something about the virtualness. Like, for example, I just took a picture of us, but you can't see it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, but that's, I think, my fear with even the OnlyFans and things like that is that people can screen grab and do the, like, you know, still access the content that you put on mm-hmm. virtually. I don't know. I'll have to consider that.
Try to take a screenshot on your Mac right now. Let's see if Zoom will let us.
Oh, I ain't got my MacBook. I just got I have this set up on my HP because I have a 2 monitor setup going on right now.
Let me see if.
And it doesn't connect to my.
Let me see if it tells us. Hold on.
But yeah, I mean that's like the risk of like that's the downfall. That's the downside of virtual, you know, stuff is like. People can be dishonest and shitty and stuff. And like this one was like it was a birthday party for a friend. So like we kind of all had a, you know, like people, you know, were gonna be shitty. But like, you know, when you do open it up to more people, like this community is really heavily vetted. And, you know, they do vetting phone calls and you have to take a consent workshop and, you know, all of this stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like, so it feels a little bit safer because of the amount of vetting that's required to become a member.
I would say too, even when I go to the nude beach over in Gunnison, I would say like people mostly in the kink space are aware of privacy and respect for others. And so when people have been in this lifestyle for quite some time, like you just know not to have your phone out. You just know just to put it away, just to make everyone around you feel comfortable.
That's true.
And speaking of the lifestyle, before we get to this week's horrible decision, I want to let you know that this week's episode is also brought to you by Dipsy. Do you need a break from your inbox or the exhausting amount of social media with this goddamn coronavirus? I know that my pinky has a dent in it from holding my phone so much. So go ahead. It's now time to prioritize a little me time and to help you recharge. Dipsy can help you focus on something more pleasurable than whatever it is on your to-do list. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. Imagine like a better scripted perpendicular story, something like that, just to get you in the mood. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there. There's something for everyone, whoever, and whatever you're into, and they add new content every week. So for our listeners, for the Whore Hive, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/horrible. That's Dipsy, D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/horrible. Again, that's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/horrible. That's WHOREIBLE. Now let's get back with the show. So I wanted to have the conversation because this week's horrible decision, when I was reading a little bit more into Corey, I thought that just your journey into the sex world was interesting. And I know that Weezy and I have been doing this podcast now for 3 years. We finally made 3 years. And there's just been so much things. I think that this podcast has been a huge part of my sex journey. Outside of all the stories that we've shared, I've learned so much since starting this podcast and, you know, being introduced to people like you. So I wanted you to kind of, for people who may not have had the conversation regarding sex in their households or growing up, if you could kind of share your journey into sex and becoming an educator.
Yeah, totally. So I was actually a theater kid growing up. I did musical theater. That was like my life. Like I went to school for musical theater at first. And then I hated the program. And so I changed my major and I had no idea what the fuck I wanted to do. And so I just kind of started taking classes of stuff that just was interesting to me. And I started taking classes centered around like identity politics, you know, and talking about like race and class and gender and sexuality and all this stuff. And I realized I'm like really passionate about this. And I came out as bi when I was in college. So then like that part of my identity became really important to me. And eventually I joined an individualized study program where I created my own major and I studied media and technology, gender and sexuality, and pop culture, and kind of how all of those
things intersect. So how old are you?
I'm 23.
I know you mentioned, well, and just reading on you and us having a talk, that you didn't really talk with your parents so much about sex. So when you felt that you were bisexual, how was that conversation? Did you feel like you had to come out and announce your sexuality to your parents at all?
I came out in the worst way to my mom.
Oh shit.
It was horrible. Like I feel so bad in hindsight because I freaked her the fuck out. But like it was like over the summer and it was like late at night, and the next morning I was about to go fly to see like my boyfriend at the time, like in Texas. And like, I don't know why, but that night I just like came to the realization. I was just like, fuck, okay, yeah, I'm bi, like this is real. And then like, I just had this my mom and I are really close. And so I just had this urge to tell her. And so I fucking woke her up at like midnight and I'm like crying, I'm sobbing. And she's like, what is wrong? Like, what is wrong? And I was like, I'm not pregnant and I don't have an STD. And so like, I'm setting her up for the worst experience. And I finally say like, I'm bi. And she was just like so tired and confused and like groggy. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm sure. Like, yes. And so eventually like, and then she kind of asked me if I was like bi with my best friend. And I was like, nope, she's straight as fuck. Like, that is not the case.
Is it fucking Katie? I knew it. You guys love movies, don't you?
Because I was also like spending all this time with my best friend that summer too. So
that's funny. I wanted to ask you, Weezy, was there an announcement for you when you came to terms of your sexuality? I know you said your mom is super like accepting, but did you feel the need to announce it to your sexuality at all?
Yeah, I told her twice. She just thought the first time. So it's funny because my story is kind of similar to Corey's. The first time it happened, my mom might not even remember this, but my first time doing Molly, of course, is a drug story, but that's all the good ones I have. My first time doing Molly, I was with two friends. Funny, one of them lives up here in New York now. And we all do Molly together. And it's crazy because when you do a drug that's such a euphoric drug, you know, and you get all in your feels, and it made me want to be around my mom. So it's like 3 a.m. I go home. I think I was 17 at the time. And I was like, Mommy, oh my God, I took ecstasy. Because I knew she didn't know what the fuck Molly was. And I just want to be around you. And my mom was very, very sweet to me. Because my mom had done some shit before, so she already knew. I'm going to fuck her up if I'm a bitch. So she gave me a bath. We were like sitting there. We were laughing together. I was like, Mom, you know I like girls. And she's like, okay. Like she didn't believe me. So next day, she was really mad at me. But I'm glad that she let me ride that high out. But I was dating Scissors, who I actually have dated now as an adult. But back then I was dating Scissors, and that was the first time like my mom knew it. So I brought a few friends around my mom that I fucked. Not friends, but girls that I fucked. And she would always tell me about them. You know, she's a little gay. And I'm like, yeah.
You're like, Mom, I know.
She's like, I see it. And so not until I brought my girlfriend at the time to my dad's birthday party, my mom was like, oh. So we go upstairs. My mom's doing her makeup. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to tell you this. But, and then she looks at me and she's like, yeah. So you guys going to like adopt a kid or what? Like that was the only thing she cared about. Which I think is great though.
No, that's, I really like that. Like just that y'all even felt. It's weird because for, I guess as women, it's so accepting, I think, in society to be bisexual. So you don't think of like a coming out the same way maybe a gay male has to come out or make the announcement. Or even I know, so I'm half Jamaican. And my sister was lesbian for quite some time. And I also have a gay cousin. And so the coming out of my sister, I remember even to my dad, was kind of just like, no. Like, he wasn't okay with her being lesbian. And it's weird now because my other sister, it's funny because me and all of my sisters are bisexual. I don't know what the fuck that means about our upbringing. But my sister just, my other sister who's in the Army just sent out a survey. And it was like seeing how much her friends knew her. And she was like, yeah, so does my husband or my wife, like, she put husband, wife, his, her, to all of the questions. And I was like, oh, bitch, you really, you out here dealing with girls? I ain't know. But it's funny, like, literally all of us identify as bisexual. So I wanted, because you now have entered the space of being just sexually open, your friends, your family all know, I want to ask a question that may help some of our listeners. I wanted to ask, what is the healthiest way to grow sexually with a partner who may not be as interested in the kink space or being more freaky? I think we get that question so much, just from people like, hey, I want to explore and my partner's not really into doing anything. What would you say is the healthiest way to grow sexually with a partner who's not really trying to do much?
So there's a few options. Definitely non-monogamy is something you might want to look into. Like, realistically speaking, like, there are some people that just, like, aren't kinky, and that's totally fine. But you might want to explore some sort of non-monogamous option so that you have the opportunity to explore on your own. And, like, non-monogamy absolutely helps people grow individually and as couples. So definitely non-monogamy. Or if you, like, actually, you know, if your partner, I think there has to be some interest or some willingness on your partner's end to at least try. Like, like, it's, the truth is, like, you can't convince someone who is just, like, dead set, like, no, this is not for me. Like, some people just are into what they're into. Like, I can never be vanilla. Like, it's just not gonna work. So there has to be some level of interest. And then I think the best way to go about it is, like, look online, find some sort of BDSM yes, no, maybe list. Like, find, you know, a list where you can kind of, like, go down a list and do it separately. Like, go in different rooms, like, do it, have a separate exercise, go down, do your whole list, and then come together and then see where there's overlap.
I want to do that tonight.
I like that. I like that. Do you know, do you have a website or anywhere that you know that they have?
I'm going to search for one.
You said a BDSM checklist. So could you search one? We're going to put whatever Weezy and I find and maybe whatever Corey suggests, we're going to put it in the description. I really like that.
So I have an Excel sheet that I use with new, like, and it's, like, a really long, thorough, like, there's stuff in this Excel sheet that no one has ever heard of before. So, like, that's the one that I use because it's the best one I've ever been able to find. And it was sent to me by, like, a pro dom friend that she gives to her clients. So so I can send you that one. I can send you a blank copy of that one. And
I would love that. And I guess, so we'll drop the Excel in the Patreon group that we have. But Weezy, have you found any BDSM lists over there or any websites that have that?
I'm just making sure they... So the Bad Girls Bible has one. Yes. I'm just trying to see if it's a good one. Hold on.
Yeah, some of them are just, like, a little too vanilla for, like, what people are,
you know, that's what I was
for.
Thinking. If, do you like... So, yeah, actually, like, okay, this one's, you know, a little too much. This is a Google Doc, and I'm not a docu person. Just send me the fucking thing and I can click yes, no. So it has different subchapters. The first one I'm looking at is bondage and suspension. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. It went away. You see why I can't do motherfucking?
Okay.
It has, like, a... Yo, this is... I'm actually not trying to be funny. This is how bad I am. Okay. Bondage and suspension. So they have an activity section, experience, limits and interest, and then comments. Blindfolds, bondage... immobilization, chains, ropes, harnesses. Then the next one is impact and percussion, spanking, flogging, tail whips, wooden paddles, face slapping, shit like that. The next one, sexual activity, swallowing semen, coming on partner, fisting, etc. Sensation play.
See,
scratching, biting.
I like that. I think that that's something that maybe if any couples are listening, I think that this is a great way to maybe introduce
this
new
one's
things
lit.
New.
This
especially
chapter.
Like right now when you're stuck together.
Oh yeah, service and restrictive behavior. Service and restrictive. So some of them on here is forced servitude, following orders, eye contact restrictions, shit like that.
I love.
I'm not gonna lie. I was going to say, I love that it takes it out of sexual acts, too.
Yeah. Kink and sex are different things. They can intersect, but like they're different.
And I think that we're learning that just by even we had one of the – so Taylor McFly, she came on and talked about how she's a dom and doesn't even engage in sex at all. So, and she does like femdom. She does – you know, just the servitude aspect, the humiliation. And I just think it's interesting that that list has that. Yeah, if you can save that, Weezy, just so that we can give that to our listeners, maybe we'll put that link in, and then if you can share your Excel,
it's,
share that.
Just
on
Google,
on
you guys, if you don't want to click on a link and you're confused, BDSM checklist. It was the first thing that came up, in-depth BDSM checklist by badgirlsbible.com, and it comes up as a Google Doc on your computer. I'll send it to you guys as well.
I like that. And I guess, Corey, you've been, again, through this journey. I wanted to ask you, Weezy, in the last 3 years of doing Horrible Decisions, what you feel like you've maybe learned the most sexually during your sexual journey with having the podcast?
I think the most growth I've experienced is, like, the non-monogamy. Like, I said it, and I feel like people wouldn't believe me at first. I would see like a lot of comments like, oh, like you're just doing that to please your man and blah, 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 blah. And like I would get confused with that, too. But it's because I was exhibiting so much jealousy. But throughout the show, I learned that I really am non-monogamous and that the jealousy was just normal. I just didn't know how to navigate it. Also, I think that my partners weren't making me feel as secure. Like now I understand the relationship I'm in. And I think the interesting part is not that this didn't stem from the same way, but Corey, I don't know if you've heard the term situationships, but a lot of the relationships I was having were this like this unclear boundary of who we were to each other, even though there was a lot of time spent and there was a lot of love there. And I would kind of use steps as like, okay, well, we're blending families, so we're together, without having someone say those words to me. Now my relationship's different, where it's very clear and we call each other, whether it be partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. That makes me feel like I can handle this. And it actually makes me feel comfortable enough to do it, too, because a lot of times I would be like, nah, they're saying that I can. But if I do, he's not going to want to be with me anymore. You know what I mean? Those things would come in my mind. But I also really enjoy the aspects of non-monogamy, like something that would have made me so jealous the first year of this podcast. When my man was in Europe, he was about to sleep with this girl, but he, like, we talk every night before bed, and I guess he really still wanted to call me before bed. And he was like, yo, I'm with so-and-so, like, I want to talk to you. I was in Mexico, and I was like, okay. And at first it was weird, but she was smiling. And I think the other thing too was like, oh, she gets who I am. She knows that this isn't like going anywhere, and he's still making me a priority, and it felt really good. Have I done the same for him? No. But I mean, like even recently when I was in Orlando and I saw Scissors, I was like, damn, yo, do I? Because I really was like, all right, you going to bed early, babe? Great. Like that's the kind of shit that I was thinking about, because I'm not as comfortable as he is. You know what I mean? Like, I feel the freedom, but like, I don't know if I could be like as open. So I'm learning, but I also know I'm very comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. And I guess I can just quickly share my journey sexually, I think. In a condensed version would be just kind of my connection now to more of the LGBTQ community, identifying more of myself, and also realizing that my acceptance in maybe not dating a hetero cis man, and just kind of the more, just me being more fluid with my partners and making sure they accept who they are and making sure they're honest with me as far as their sexual desires, their sexual past, and making sure that they feel comfortable. I have felt like I took like a load on when starting this podcast, because I feel like so many people were just wanting to share with me because they feel like they can't with not, you know, many other people. So for a long time, I felt like I was just becoming like the fucking dick whisperer diary or some shit. Like, niggas was just like sharing this wild thing, and it made me feel uncomfortable because their partners weren't aware that these things were happening. So I would just say, as far as what I want from my partners sexually, the conversations have advanced, and just knowing that I don't want someone with homophobic tendencies. I want someone to be able to hang around my gay friends and not feel uncomfortable. And I think just me so more opening those dialogues to have other people understand where things are coming from. Even with the Dwayne Wade situation, I've gotten into mad arguments with a lot of my hetero cis friends, and just having them understand like why, how they think is just, it does just doesn't make sense. So just kind of the education aspect of what I've learned and sharing that with others has been kind of what I think I take from this journey. I wanted to get into the home mail real quick. So this home mail actually comes from a friend, and I want both of your opinions on it because I shared with her what I think she needs to do. I'm not sure if she was fully upfront because it's with multiple partners that this is happening, but I wanted to have this conversation, and I wanted both of you guys' opinion because I'm sure this is happening to maybe other women and they don't know how to respond. So this is this week's home mail. It says, I am single and have a pretty decent sexual lifestyle. However, there's been a reoccurring issue with my partners that I can't get past, and it's really fucking with my spirit. Starting in 2019 and 2020, I had one too many experiences of stealthing. Stealthing, for those of you who don't know, is when they're removing the condoms right without asking. She said the first time it happened, I was extremely irate and went off and just felt completely disrespected. I just cut him off, and then it started to happen with my partner. And then it started to happen with my partner that I have prior sexual experiences with. I try to make it an educational moment and explain that it's not consensual and is considered as rape in some cases, but I recently just had my third experience and it happened again. I am so tired of this because I feel like they're violating my personal space. And right now I feel like the average person may say, maybe you should pick better partners or just slow down. I've also had the conversation about the use of condoms before being intimate, even switching my position so that I can feel what's going on down there. I feel like I'm taking all the appropriate steps to avoid this from happening and taking ownership of the issue, but it's getting out of hand now. This is the third time, the third partner. The men that are doing this are making it seem like it's normal, using the basic excuse that I just really want to feel you, or it's not that big of a deal, I don't have anything. Do you have any advice on how to navigate this? Because I'm 2 seconds away from catching a case for hurting someone's son in these streets.
Oof.
Right.
Go first, Corey.
God, well, first of all, like, that's sexual assault. Like, that's full stop. Like, there's no way around it. Like, I mean, at least the way that I see that, it's like, that is, yeah, no. If you take a condom off in the middle of sex without asking someone before, like, that is sexual assault. You violate someone's consent. Like, there's no way around it. Our legal system might not be caught up to that, but that doesn't matter. Yeah, she's doing all the right things. And it's just I hate to give this answer because, like, she knows it's coming. But it's just like, you have to stop that. Like, you have to cut them off, you know, like, they, if they know that they can get away with something, then they're just going to, you know, keep trying to do it. And so, like, that's got to be a hard limit that you got to enforce. And I'm sorry these people are being fucking assholes to you and like, trying to say that it's normal. Like, no, that shit's not normal. That's not normal
taking
at all.
Taking out condoms is normal. I think men wanting to fuck you without condoms is normal. Like, yeah. Like, maybe trying to try it, but not to do it.
Yeah. Or I've had people ask, like, can I just, like, put it in and then pull it out and then put a condom on? I'm like, no.
No, that fucking takes away the point.
I was thinking,
what would your advice be?
I've only let something like this happen to me when I was young and dumb, and that's no offense to your friend, because
is young, and she's young.
Well, I was thinking, like, now that I look back, because I already remember the guy, and, like, I knew he would take it off and I would let it go. Like, why would I let it go? And I think I just wanted to make sure I didn't piss him off. Like, there's a big thing in being I'm trying to find the words, but basically standing your ground with men, and this is much like the vanilla shit, is something that I think really comes with either maturation or age. Because I know you're 23, Corey, but you have that already about you, right? It could be your sexual health background, though. That might be it. But I mean, I never really took it serious until I got older. And then when you really come down to it, thinking, I always try to say, like, what advice would I give my friend? And if, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, bitch, you're dumb. But why can't I take that for myself? So for
me, we can take our own advice.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm a coach. I literally like help other people, and I still come into the same problems that some of my friends come into. And I have, and like, I have my group of friends that I can text and be like, I need you to tell me exactly what I would tell.
Oh, it's always easier said than done. It's always easier said than done. But I think the main thing that we need to remember is like what happened to me when I finally confronted him about it. He was super gassed that he like, wow, like I'm not going to feel nothing. It's not going to feel you. And then it makes you feel like, oh, he's not going to have good sex with me. And it's like, it's really silly. But, you know, the main thing that I do want to say about condoms, why it's so important to trust your partner and use them. Like, I don't know if your friend wants to have kids, but we had a friend when we were younger, Mandy and I, who had a kid. I haven't heard from her in years, but her partner, who was the only person she had ever slept with, got her pregnant like the first few weeks. You know who I'm talking about? She got gonorrhea from him, and it literally was fucking up her fallopian tubes because she had it so long, and she was in the middle of being pregnant, and it could pass on to her kid. So like, not only can it make you infertile if you're not you know, like pregnant, but just like how serious those basic STDs are, like, nah. Because I've even heard people be like, oh, it's a pill, but it's not. Like, maybe
also the fact that she has three multiple partners, I think that maybe needs to be more of a conversation. I know that not so many people are open with sharing when they're having sex and stuff like that. But if you have multiple sex partners, maybe to make a guy not feel comfortable fucking you raw, you should maybe be more open and say, hey, just so you know, you're not the only person I'm fucking. And so just so that both of us remain safe and clean, I use condoms with all my partners, and I think that you should respect that. I told her that maybe she wasn't being stern enough, and I say this because a lot of women, even the giggle, know. Not oh, my chill, God, stop. Oh, my, you know, don't do that. And so I said, maybe you actually need to be more stern and let him know, no, my nigga, like, I'm taking this serious. You're violating me, and actually make him feel bad for what he's doing. And
I think she can also do it, by the way, during sex next time. She's got to do it before she gets over.
Oh, yeah. No, this has to be a separate conversation.
And I think that
use the word sexual assault. Use it. That perks people's ears up, being like, oh shit. It's like, yeah. Like, there are states in this country that consider that sexual assault. Like, yeah.
Why are you tripping for?
I think it's so weird how reserved we are in terms of making sure we don't hurt people's feelings in terms of telling them what we like and don't like during sex. And I think that that's something that as women, we need to start just even having the conversation to have women feel comfortable with saying, I ain't like this. Don't do this. You're not going to do this. And just kind of saying it more stern to where we don't give a fuck how you take it. I'm telling you exactly what it is. Like, just, you know, just to be more stern with how we're doing. I like both of y'all's responses. I think it was similar to mine. And I would say, too, if you do feel like you're violated by any of your partners and they're not listening, that it's not that important to keep them as your partner. You may need to just cut them the fuck off. Period. Corey, I do want to thank you for joining us. Guys, we are recording remotely, so I hope that you guys enjoy this.
Why Weezy, did you have any plans here?
I don't know, bitch. I don't really know. Girl, listen, bitch, I'm on my third coffee for the day, and it's only 4 o'clock. You know, okay, fuck.
Like, code switching? Somebody... No, I'm serious, Corey. I'm like, being so honest, right? I'm on fucking live... I'm on a friend's live, not my live, my friend's live. Mm-hmm. My friend's white. She's cool. And one of my girls jumped in and she was like, why'd you sound like that? And I was like, because I can't talk to that bitch like I be talking to you, bitch. Yeah. But only because, like, I feel like I'm going to make her uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, now that I'm thinking about it, did we have a switch up this episode?
I mean,
not you really. 100% I just think this was
nigga-less.
No, what? Oh, nah, but I said nigga still. I just said it less because she probably not fucking niggas. And I feel like I can't, you know, relate to whatever whiteness and pink dick she got going on over there.
Corey, go ahead. Corey, you look like you live in Brooklyn with that brook wall.
Yes, I live in Brooklyn. I'm also from Atlanta. You guys know that, right?
Hello.
Okay, bitch, you ain't got no type of Atlanta slang.
It's
funny that you're from Atlanta because I don't know if y'all see this. So there's the guy Marco or something. He goes through Walmart and he be like just saying lyrics to people, and they came up to this Asian and she was like, you better hold up. But she was Asian as fuck, but with a super Atlanta accent. I was like, oh bitch, that's an Asian from Buford Highway in Atlanta hole.
So wait,
like from Stone Mountain.
So what's your type? And even if it is a white guy, when you go outside of the Bobbies.
Here you go.
Because I'm a Bobby fucker too. I love it. You know what I'm saying? That was my first time going to Williamsburg, was for dick. I'm like, yeah, I fucking love babies already. Are you kidding me? Okay, no, but tell me, like, what's your other type? Is it Indian guy? Is it like West Indian, Spanish?
Okay, I just like, so like, first of all, I don't remember the last time I dated a white guy. My partner is, he's half Japanese. And then my last partner was half Lebanese, Middle Eastern.
Wow.
My last partner before that was half Puerto Rican, half Indian.
So you like them brown?
Yeah. So like,
okay.
I like dark features. Like, I like dark, thick eyebrows. Like, I don't like blondes. I don't date blondes. If you look like you could be my sister or brother, like, I'm not into you. It's just nope.
Brown and yellow. Brown and yellow.
But yeah, no, I just I would say that's my type for all people, all genders.
Okay, my bad. So you got a little tandem going on over there. My bad.
No,
you guys watch Kermit having any white babies? I've seen some episodes.
Nah, there was an episode, I haven't seen the final episode I watched yesterday, and he was in the delivery room with this couple that was having a baby, white girl and a black guy, and he's like, "Oh my god, what'd you guys name it?" And they're like, "Kwame," and he was like, "Little light for a Kwame." Little light for a Kwame. Hey, I honestly was thinking, like, yo, I feel like when I like talk to white girls and they'll say their partner's name, and I'd be like, ooh, but what kind? Who is that? You know what I'm saying? When she's like, Luis, I'm like, oh, he must be like real Latin because you ain't say Luis. You said Luis.
Nah,
you know what Luis. I mean? So he's like, for real. But yeah. I am always interested in talking to. When I meet white people, men and women both, that date people of other races, and like seeing the spectrum, because I'm gonna be real with you, I don't like meeting white women that only fuck black guys. That shit freaks me out.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's like a total fetish. Is like that's what you're fetishizing.
Man, there. Not always. I hate with you because my mom, I've only known of her to date black guys. So, bitch, if you really go call it out, you calling my mama out. And the thing with my white ass mama dating them black ass. That's what I was gonna say.
If you know what I'm saying, when like you meet a fucking girl who's like from Murray Hill or even like Williamsburg, and they only fuck black, like you don't see nobody else in that motherfucking neighborhood.
First off, I also want to let y'all know we recording remotely, so Weezy gonna let this go over an hour because we ain't in the studio. So she's like, well, you know what? Let's start another topic about interracial dating, bitch. And I'm just like, damn, no, but I mean, so it's crazy because I don't feel like every time it's about fetishism with white women dating black guys.
Yeah, I don't think every time, obviously not.
I mean, but so y'all saying majority because Weezy rolling her eyes, pussy.
Okay, if it's always.
Yeah.
It's always my mom. So here's the thing, too. Even with my mom. So when she wasn't dating and she got when she didn't have a boyfriend and she went back into the dating realm, she actually, and of course, y'all know I was born in 1990. So this was like mid 90s to early 2000s. She felt like bringing us as biracial, you know, she has three biracial daughters, that white men felt some way in terms of her having three biracial children.
That makes more sense than anything else to me, because if your kids are biracial, then you feel like I want at least them to feel accepted within the relationship I'm in. But you know what I think would just come into my mind when I said it? I saw the picture of the Kardashians with their entire family. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
And someone said, this is such fucking fetish. But it is weird. Like, you guys just love them? Really? Like, that much?
Bitch, I'm Kendall. I'm the auntie with no kids, baby. Just
who has a career. Like, she's like, she doesn't give a shit.
Dude, but like, how you live in LA and you found no fine white boys, bro? All the fine white guys are fucking in Brooklyn and in LA and then Europe. So you telling me the Kardashians, they just got Corey fucking Gamble? What?
I mean, but look at the one white guy that we saw Kim date, Chris Humphries. He ain't even good looking. God.
Wait, was he white? I thought he was black.
He
was mixed.
What is he? Is he? Oh, he Chris Humphries is black. Yeah. I thought. Bitch, I didn't know.
Nah, but at least Courtney kept it up. Nah, but Courtney, she dated Luca.
Oh shit. Yeah, wait, Courtney. Oh, Scott. Yeah,
Courtney got Scott.
So that's right. Courtney at least dabbled. She at least fucked Luca Sabbat, if that's how you say his name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think Kendall, she was fucking, wait, is Blake black too? Bitch, damn. Them motherfuckers transparent, though. Blake is black or he white?
They're mixed.
Yeah,
no, he's mixed.
Well, all right, my bad. I tried. You're right. They be dating.
That's what I mean, right?
Look, I ain't gonna lie. Look,
remember, not the Jenners, but the Kardashians. They're Middle East. They're Armenian. So they're technically not white.
Do you consider? I do. Technically not white.
That's a thing, though.
Yeah.
People have thought.
You consider them brown? You consider them brown or white, Weezy?
If you Google an Armenian, I mean, that just because they've changed their features. Doesn't mean that. I mean, if remember those old pics of Kim with this almost like low key sideburns, big nose, like
she had all of her like, you know, baby hairs lasered off.
I ain't even gonna hold you. I thought this was a really educational episode, and here we go, probably gonna get canceled talking about. Here we go, making it problematic.
Wait, you don't consider the Kardashians?
Look, I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm also just talking so that I can up my N word count since you want to call me out.
Oh my god,
nigga.
Bro, that
fuck you, Weezy.
So
shit.
Anyway, it's been a great episode. I'm so glad. Let's do it. Since Corey, you know what? Corey's got a little mix in there. She said she likes fuzzy eyebrows. I'm going to do an R&B Caucasian drum roll now.
I hate bad. That. That's awful. That was like so awful. That's the half white in you, bitch. That was so bad. So, Corey, before we get out of here, can you let our listeners know not only where they can find you guys? We did talk about squirting in this episode, and that is one of you guys' first episodes on your podcast. So can you go ahead and let everyone know your website, your Instagram, as well as your podcast, and even share your co-host name and what you guys talk about on your podcast?
Yeah, so you can follow me on social. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Corey B, MissCoryB. My podcast is called Never Have I Ever. Our first episode's on squirting. We also just dropped a mini-sode about squirting where we read other people squirting. But my podcast, it's different because we bring somebody in that has never done something before, or like I've never done something before, or my co-host hasn't, and then we actually do the thing on the show. But if you want to listen to us doing that thing, so like my friend squirted for the first time ever on my podcast. But if you want to listen, you want to come on the show,
like
bitch, I gotta think of like what I've never done. Yeah, no, like, girl, the audio, and you guys share video as well, but on Patreon,
right? No, so
right?
We don't do any video, and we did that in order to protect the identity of people who want to remain anonymous, but, so basically we have a conversation about it for the first, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and then we break, and we set up the, you know, better mics, and, we record the experience actually happening. The episode that's going to be out on Monday is, yeah.
Who made her squirt?
My partner.
So you hear just a whole bunch of moaning.
You like hear the sounds. Nah,
what's
and everything.
The minute mark? I know you know.
No. So we can't have that shit on iTunes, right? Because that's like porn.
Oh, right.
So that part, if you want to listen to actual squirting, is on our OnlyFans. You have to subscribe to the OnlyFans.
Come on and try to get.
Girl, you so smart, bitch. Mm-hmm. Look, bitch. We might have Weezy. You gonna have fuck your partner and record the sounds, and we can make an OnlyFans account.
I'm scared that OnlyFans is gonna stop my bag one day.
Okay, so we'll do it on Patreon. Maybe you could fucking, we just hear the audio of you fucking on Patreon. Hey, if you're a patron, go ahead and write, put all the little squirt bubbles, the little
Hold
droplets
on,
under the
sound. I think I got it still in my phone. He was recording. And
you said this episode's dropping on Monday? Or
yes.
Okay, so so listen, you can listen to it today. I'm getting fisted in this episode, in the second episode.
Wait, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I got vaginally fisted for the first time. on my podcast.
You got vaginally fisted and you like just, and you moan and talk. Do you like walk us through the experience?
Oh, yeah.
Like, guys,
so
he has four fingers in me now.
Okay, so it was my friend Lenore that did it. And
oh, a woman.
She,
no,
yeah. So it's like, yeah. So tiny, yeah, fist. I was like, first time vaginal fisting. I cannot get a dude's. Absolutely not. No. It's too big. We talk about that.
My pussy hurts. Thinking about it.
It was amazing. But yeah, so you can listen to that today. But yeah, we do bi-weekly episodes, but we do mini-sodes in between and we read out your stories. So
yes, yeah. Mini-sodes. So you guys definitely subscribe to Never Have I Ever.
And my co-host name is Gabby Scarringe. You can follow her on Instagram as well.
And I'm hoping to get Gabby on here. Y'all know, listen, we setting up remotely. We was like, let's not do four voices the first time we figure this shit out. But we definitely want to bring Gabby on. I want to thank you for joining us,
thank
Corey.
Thank you for having me.
As usual, we are going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip from our Patreon. Again, this is a time where I know you guys are all working from home, unless you're an essential worker. Hopefully, if you're an essential worker, they're still allowing you to plug your headphones in and listen to us.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
I just met construction workers this morning when I was on my bike ride in Brooklyn. And, they just made me feel so good. And, you know,
they didn't make me feel good this morning, bitch. I heard the banging on the goddamn concrete this morning. I'm like, damn, they essential? I was mad.
It feels like there's always these construction sites around New York City that are never being worked on. And then all of a sudden, everything shut down and they're just like on it.
Bro, it's corporate they fucking greed, man. And honestly, it's really sad because I feel like nurses, like people in the medical field are a little more safe just because maybe they're hyper aware of keeping clean. Whereas with construction workers, they touching the same tools, things like that. But I was on the bike when they called after me, and I was like, oh, and both dudes like, we love y'all. And I was like, oh, well, that's not her. I think he thought one of my nigga was Mandy. But anyway, I was like,
bitch, look, just going to prove that I'm the darker one of the two. Thank
so
you very
anyway
much.
Bitch, I said I would hug y'all, like, but I'm sorry. And they're like, it's all right. And maybe in a month. And I was like, probably never again will we ever. The hug is dead. Bro,
yeah,
imagine
the hug
handshake.
Probably is
the
dead.
The handshake has died, dog.
Yeah. It's all like waving, weird fucking waving and like elbow bumps.
My friend just had to come over because I was having a microphone issue. And literally, my initial thing in my head was to hug him. And he was like, nah, wipe down the mic. You've been on bikes and shit. I'm like, yo, he was fucking terrified of me.
I would be too, ho. You was in
that
Miami
was 2 weeks ago.
I'm terrified of you now. It don't matter. It don't matter. You ain't been self quarantined. I'm still
honest,
nervous. God damn it.
I did not think for a second. So I went to Miami after we recorded last week's episode, and it was. We were both making like we didn't think of. It's crazy how like everything has changed so much, like day to day.
So quickly,
but just even considerably, like I would even space out just 3 days apart. Like we recorded this episode. 3 days later, I went to Miami, and literally the next day, I was like, oh my God, we should have never got on the plane.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And I know and even as much so as we scheduled a studio session when Weezy came, when Weezy was coming back, and literally the day we scheduled, and Corey, this was the day you were supposed to come in. It was a day that New York City was like, as of 9 a.m., everything's on lockdown. Yeah. A lot of things were closed outside of essential things.
But I will say this, it was right before spring break ish time. Because nothing was closed, and nothing was closed in New York or Miami. So we were still living normal
Florida
lives.
Florida took longer to close.
Huh?
Florida took longer to close.
But at the time that I left,
still
not even New York
not
was
fully. Yeah.
Yeah, no, New York wasn't closed when you were, because I know I even got into the studio that weekend. But me and my friend ended up going to Brooklyn Chop House after the studio, and it was
nigga,
fucking
nigga, so you
dead.
Went to a restaurant and you was out. It's the same.
But this was on this was on the Sunday, and everything was locked down
saying,
that Tuesday. So literally 2 days later.
Miami,
yeah, it was pretty wild. But no, we are gonna still, again, you guys will still get your episodes every Monday during this shit. If you guys have not listened yet, I have a daily podcast. Okay, it's like daily, bi-daily.
Bi-daily?
You know, when I feel like recording. I don't know, bitch. Every other day, ho. Sometimes it is daily until I decide.
We as
like, you know,
bisexual women, me and Corey, feel.
I'm offended.
Like, I mean, shit. She said bi-weekly. What the fuck is the difference?
Yeah, it just means every
other
week.
Yeah, bitch. You know, and I'm so, mine is almost every other day sometimes, but it's Dorona Report. You guys can listen to it anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. But also, like I said, if you guys are all caught up and still listening and maybe all caught up on the regular episodes of Horrible Decisions, we are on Patreon and you guys are still getting your three episodes a month. I'm doing a thing. Well, I guess I did a thing last week, last Friday. I did a Netflix watch party with the patrons. So we all watched season 3, episode 1 of Ozark together.
Bruh. Yes. Y'all watching Tiger King?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I finished it. It was so good.
Two episodes. I haven't gotten past there.
I just want to say, Weezy, the way you just keep trying to add topics. So you want to give these.
Man, you know what? I'm a quick leave meeting first because I ain't got nothing to do. So bye, y'all. I'm serious.
I hate you. Bye, guys. Anyways, I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Corey, thank you so much for joining us. And again, if you guys have any guests that you guys want to hear, let us know. We don't want to, you know, sit here and give you guys subpar content, but we are going to leave you guys yet with another bonus clip from our Patreon. You guys can become patrons at patreon.com/horrible decisions because it is an 18 plus platform. You do have to type in /horrible decisions for us to pop up. And can you go ahead and drop your OnlyFans as well?
Yeah, we're OnlyFans.com/neverhaveIever. We're kept it easy.
Yes.
Yep. So yeah,
easy.
$10 a month.
So thank you again. And we're dropping you guys with a clip. Thank you guys for tuning in to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
Bye.
I found it interesting because it was the portrayal of also a bisexual black man, which we did get to see in Issa Rae's Insecure.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then we're also seeing on the show that's on BET right now. I can't think of the name.
The comedy?
Yeah. And I can't think of the name right now. But
I saw a thread about
it. I found that it was interesting how he projected all of his insecurities onto her, but also that he created, I wanted to call him a pathological liar, because in the sense, so basically, again, if you guys haven't watched, these two got engaged. It was Carlton and Diamond, and literally when they're on their honeymoon, I would say, the couple's retreat, he came out and was like, I just want you to know that I've been with men and women. So fast forward to the next day, they're sitting at the pool and she doesn't understand how they spent all these days talking, opening up about everything, and he omitted this information. And so his response was just like,
I don't owe you my sexuality.
Well, not only that, but
that's the one thing you said I agreed with.
What?
I don't think anyone owes you their sexuality.
We're engaged. Yeah.
I don't believe it's like, I don't fucking feel like I need to tell you I used to fuck bitches in a pod. I don't believe that.
I need to tell you
that I've been eating pussy and I fucking
baby girl. Yeah. In the context of the show, you're telling me you're not going to tell me what it is.
Yes,
that is whack as fuck, Weezy.
Same.
That's fine. I am very, very, very serious when I tell you I believe that my sexuality is private until you need to know. You don't need to know that I'm into choking or spitting or rough shit or bondage until I want to tell you. Now, according to this show with shit like that, like, I get it. But also, I think on his end, now, here's the thing that sucks. He was shitty. And I wish it was someone else. Because it's like, I feel like he made the situation look shitty.
No, but to me,
But to say he wanted to know that she would fall in love with him as a person before his sexuality, I was like, damn, yo.
Nah. To me, your sexuality, not only is a part of you, to me, why I enjoyed how the exchange happened was because I think a lot of people, in terms of bisexual men, they automatically think that women attack them. But I thought that it was a clear indication on how much bisexual men genuinely aren't accepting of themselves. And so the way that he threw the hissy fit and projected himself and also came across as a pathological liar in the sense where he was like,
Nobody has a problem.
A woman has never had a problem with this.
Oh, really? You should hear the stuff they called me.
He kept saying that. He just kept saying, well, a woman has never had a problem. This is why. And then he went into following, this is why I don't deal with bitches like you.
But it literally
like flip-flop, but this is why I hate that we do also push the narrative of biphobia and society's hate to it, when in reality, there's a lot of these bisexual men who have an inner hate for themselves and truly not accepting who they are based on how they think people react.
It's not about how they think people react. It's about how people react.
People react to
and
things.
And he's black and bi.
But people react to two things in every instance. Mm-hmm. I've told guys that, you know, even in terms of pegging, or let's not go to pegging because we know men attach the anal thing with their masculinity. Mm-hmm. Weezy mentioned one time she likes being choked and spit on. It's okay, except in the realm of when we had a black guy saying you allow white men to do that. So to me, especially even being in a public setting, in a way where we see all these people's opinions, everyone's not always going to like you. The fact that she sat there and was really trying to understand you, like, it just shows how much he was more uncomfortable with himself than a person who really was just literally trying to understand, why did you keep this from me? Why is this something you didn't hide?
I thought about it a lot, and like, you know, the way that it came out, like, so there's a few things about it that I didn't like. He treated her really badly.
Yeah,
he was an asshole. The way that he treated her was over the top, like,
sassy. Oof.
He was hurt, though. Hurt people hurt people.
They do.
You could see he was struggling internally.
That's what I'm saying. And sure. Also, I don't know. One, if I could have opened up to like someone like I don't like you guys saying in this experiment you're supposed to do it up, but like as big and hard as that was to tell them, I don't know. Like, if you could do that, one, and two,
man, a producer's told him to do that shit.
No. If you could do it behind. I don't know if I would start talking too much about sex in those pods, and it seems like a lot of them didn't. Like, it was very clear a lot of them didn't.
Well, Brennan definitely made sexual innuendos to everything.
But I'm saying a lot of them. Right. Some people did, some people didn't.
I think it depends on the person.
And I'm such a sexual person, and I feel like
I would have gotten into the sex talk.
That's been something that's used against me in terms of finding a deeper love that I would not have.